this point that the glorious church is going to be something that satisfies the nature of the Father. And we're going to see the word glory itself means that which is seen, that which is visible. So the visible manifestation of the amazement that God can do is coming. And it's not apparent to the undedicated. It's not obvious to people that are with God every now and then, or circumstantially with God. When things are going wrong, they're crying out. That's in Proverbs. God calls those people, maybe Psalms, fools because of their afflictions and because of their transgressions are afflicted. See, that's what it says. And then it says they draw near to the gates of death, then they cry out. But God calls that foolish. And he says he calls them a fool. And I don't believe that's you. I believe that when you look at the prayers that are going on in your lives, it's usually for someone else. You're on that supply side, that side that says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I want to thank God for you. I want to celebrate you. Just a brief update in terms of just my woman. You know it. I was just over there day before yesterday. And her sisters came down for the last 2 days, so I let them have their way. And to see their sister, three of them came here to Miami, to this place called St. Anne's, and spend some time with my wife. I actually believe it helped her. I will be able to tell more today because they just left yesterday. No, they left Saturday evening. And so I'm thankful for that, you know, and yes, and God is great. I mean, those were the young ladies, her sisters that she grew up with, and I know that she could recognize them in some vital way that God and her know best. She, after with me, of course, your prayers for me is still been substantial after I did 10-10 there in Virginia Beach. 3 days later, I ended up with COVID. And that's just what it is. Hey, look, I'm still like I am. And this point is this. If I would have died with COVID, I would have died having done the will of God. I was right in the will of God where I was supposed to be. Laid hands on everything breathing in there, in Virginia Beach. And it was a good number of people. I got there at 6 a.m. in the morning to also pray with people that had things that they were dealing with in their lives, too, and also counseled with them. And then started at 10 o'clock, and I did from 10 o'clock, which is the service, their regular service started. They allowed me, though, to get it going at 10, so I could do 10-10. But it ended at 8. So for me, it was 14 hours of hitting it. And to be honest with you, I like it. Afterward, the next day, I stayed there for a minute, and then it hit me, get down there to see your wife. So I drove down to Orlando, got a hotel, because while I was there, my son, Jason, got COVID. While he was here, staying in my place here, came down here and got COVID. But God is so great. But anyway, he's still challenged with it. He ended up, Nicole came down here, my daughter, and picked him up, took her to her place in Tampa, and nursed him to the degree that she could. Had to take him to the doctor's, though, hospital. He had two blood clots in his left leg and also blood clots in his lungs. I could appreciate still your prayers. He's back home in Jacksonville, but he's still fighting. So when you think about it, though, it's still only been about a month. Anyway, God's in control of that young man's life, and destiny is still available for him. And so I'm holding the line. I thank God for the people who prayed for me and I could tell you a lot more in terms of it. And God is great. I'm just going to say it. He is so great. So, of course, I'm going to get him back. The devil, he's like he is, you know. And, but God's greater than he is. Isaiah 14, I want you to turn there with me. When I returned back and I saw my woman, just when I got back here last, whenever, this thing has happened, it seems like it's been much longer than what it is, but the 10-10, I got back here the 13th, is when I got COVID, and seems like much longer, but when I got back, physically, she was worse than what she was before I left, and I believe God is still there with her working powerfully, but her physical situation was such that I thought God was about ready to take her. And then it seemed like within a day or two, God snapped her back around. And I took her outside Saturday. When I say outside, in a wheelchair, and talked to her out there, let her breathe the fresh air. And she was laughing with me. I'm talking smack with her. I told her I was going to bring her some Sprite Zero and some orange juice. And she knows she's not supposed to have it. But I told her, I said, look, woman, you're getting back to normal, so I got to do some normal stuff with you. So, and then, you know, she gave me that look. I said, well, look, you saw I gave you some watermelon, didn't I? Gave you some watermelon. And she laughed. So she's coming around. Thank you for praying. And I spoke yesterday twice at Spring of Life here, and last Wednesday I started hitting it. And other than my 8-8 and 10-10, I haven't spoken anywhere else. And tomorrow some folks are coming here, and my daughter is coming here to help her bishop out. And over here, down here, I thank God for Eileen. I'm talking about not my other daughter. Other daughter was just 3.5 hours. I think she could come a lot more often, but it is what it is, and I'm not pushing her to do anything. She can do whatever she wants. It's my woman. But that woman on the line that leads this kingmaker thing, that woman is an animal, and she's a tremendous blessing, and she doesn't go a day without calling me to find out what's going on with me, what's manifestations happening with my wife, and she don't just say, do you need help? She says, I'm coming down. Okay, boom. And that's what it is. She'll be here tomorrow. And I thank God for her. She's an angel sent. Yeah, I'll tell you one more thing before I get into words here. But my wife has been, in my estimation, she's moved at least 8 times. And that's probably conservatively speaking. But this one, where she's at now, there's a young lady who is an orderly. She's actually not a nurse. You know, she does the cleaning up, you know, all the things you do with the patient, you know, make sure she's just clean, washing her, all of those other kind of things. But the one thing that she's added that's a tremendous blessing for me is she's communicating to me the condition of my woman. The nurses don't seem to do that. I have not spoken with one doctor since she's been in that particular location at all. But this girl still tells me what's happened about her leg that's also kind of creased up like it is now. She said they took her to the x-ray. There was nothing that was there, no damage, no bone, whatever. And this girl has like tattoos all over the place. She's a sister. I mean, I call it my tattooed angel. So she got tattoos everywhere. But let me tell you something. She's taking care of that woman. I mean, she's plaited her hair. She's cut her nails. She puts on clothes I bring there for her. And don't just let her wear hospital clothes or nursing home clothes. On and on and on. So every time I come there, maybe every other time, or I don't even pay attention to it, but I give that woman a seed, because there's no amount of money that is too much for the way she's taking care of my woman. And that is something awesome. I appreciate it. And I call her my tattooed angel. She don't know I call her that, but that's what I call her anyway. She is something awesome. Hey, listen, people, you know that me being laid up this long, I got stuff, okay? So, you know, they were amazed yesterday, though, that I ministered for 40 minutes on the second service with the interpreter, or yes, translator, whatever. And I did. Matter of fact, they were so surprised by that. Now, I had two services. I had a 9 o'clock service. That one was a little longer. I don't know. Ms. Ellwood probably knows. I might have gone over an hour. Yeah, it could be, you know, I mean, look, who cares? But this last time I said, okay, I'm going to do 40 minutes. And I did it about maybe 45. And they were shocked. Matter of fact, the children that they had back in the nurseries and the kids, they couldn't believe it was over because they planned their lessons based on the length of time they think I'm going to be teaching or speaking. And I shocked them yesterday. May do the same thing to you, too, as far as the length of time that I'm going to deal with this, even though I feel like I have quite a bit that's important for us right now to understand. First of all, let me just give you this analogy. If you read Romans, I believe it's 9. I haven't really looked at it recently. I'm just referring to it in terms of what's going on prophetically. You know, with our nation, see. And so in Romans 9, it says in verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, that's sovereignty right there, okay? So let me just say this. God knows exactly what's going on in all of our circumstances, both negative and positive, in terms of our perspective of it. In God's perspective of everything, to a real Christian, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, God doesn't have to explain everything to you, but you can conclude that his world has not gotten out of his control. Now, just because some of the things that are going on in the world, you say, oh, I wouldn't do that. I don't know why God's allowing this. I know you say things like that personally, and then you look at what's going on with countries, institutions, and circumstances, and you say, wow. Well, God says, still looms the same. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. The principle here, let me use my wife as an example, is that specifically God hasn't told me what's going on in that circumstance. But principally, I can still stand on the veracity of what he said in his word. Himself took her infirmities and bore her sicknesses, and with his stripes she's healed. Now, let's say it doesn't seem to be a manifestation of it. And it doesn't seem that that thing is happening that way. Well, God himself is the happening. And so that was the body he created, and he still owns it. And so therefore, he is working things out according to the counsel of his own will. I don't counsel God. He's the wonderful counselor, as it says in Isaiah 9. So therefore, I can conclude exactly what God has said. All things are working together for good. God, you're a great God. He is amazing to me now, with my wife laying flat on her back, as he was when I'm taking her to Cracker Barrel and she's in that store shopping. He's amazing. Circumstances does not determine who God is or isn't. God's in control. And he makes this statement here. I'm reading the King James Version. I should read the Living Version of this, and that's Romans also. But I'm going to go back to Isaiah 14. But Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And you know the circumstances around that. Look, what should you say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Look at that. See, that's what I'm talking about. God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I mean, that's God standing flat-footed about who he is. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Powerful stuff right there. Let me continue to read for a minute. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now, that verse is a prophetic verse related to America right now. Virginia is the state that had the capital of the Confederacy, the great sin of America, men stealing. And the Lord used as a sign a transition from an abortionist doctor and a person that would not overtly stand on the efficacy of God's word. God took him out and let a man who wasn't supposed to win, win. It identifies, wait a minute, there's a change going on. But what has happened as you read about Pharaoh here, you've got to read it yourself. There's a lot here in that verse, not just verse 17, but on through it. I think the last thing that the church has to learn about God is, one, he was a prophet when he was on the earth, Jesus Christ. He is not a priest. There's a God-man, the Son of Man. Jesus called himself that, the Son of Man, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a woman. He's an intercessor in the heavens for us. And that's why we're called the house of prayer. However, he's going to come back as king, but his dominion has been always and sure. But his overt domination is going to happen as the last office that you're going to see manifest. But this, he's not going to manifest it as God, as spirit. He's going to manifest it as the Son of Man. Okay? You get that? See? Because in the earth, he was, when he was here, he was a prophet. He was filled with the Holy Ghost without measure, okay? Living in skin. He now, as a resurrected Son of God on the right hand, the Son of Man, he's now still there representing us in heaven. See? And he's going to come back and return. We all are going to see him as king. But the training for that has already begun for us, the body of Christ. Are you hearing me? Now, that body he had was taken down to the grave for 3 days. The body we have right now is not suitable, the physical body, to live forever. That's why it wears out. But we don't die spiritually. We live forever. So the body wears out. And we, as we discern the will of God in our lives, fight against the diminishing aspects of the physical body. It could be like anything from, but the point is this: God, it's God's body. You belong to God. You gave your heart and your essence, your priorities, all of it belong to God. But that body is not the body you're going to have in the next world. God, it said in 2 Corinthians 5, God himself is making you a body that will be suitable for everything you're growing into. Okay? Now, you're born again, but the issue now is growing up into him in all things. And so part of what you're doing here in prayer, in this assignment early morning, is you're fulfilling a divine essence, meaning what you're doing isn't about you at all, or even about the people we're praying for. What you are doing is about the Lord himself. This is his world. And you're in alignment with him. And where you're not, and God lets you know, because of your heart change, you get it right. That's what I said earlier in the time. So now look, let's go back to this nation. So God has given a sign that a remnant has prayed up a new governor in Virginia. What makes Virginia significant is that Richmond, in particular, is the capital city of the offense of God for this whole nation, the capital of the Confederacy. So it would be like God saying, okay, in the midst of all the things that are going on, the turmoil, the judgment of God upon nations, upon this nation, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Here it is. I've said it a number of times, but it looms there in the scripture. When Moses brought those 10 judgments from the throne room, the first two or three of them affected Israel also. But in every case, when Pharaoh said he was going to let the people go, God himself hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he didn't do what he said. God did it. What do you mean? Because God raised Pharaoh up to slam him for the sake of... That's what this passage you're reading right now about in Romans 9. See? And he explains that he can do that. I mean, you go ahead and read through it. You'll learn something about God if you read and just meditate on the nature of God. I'm saying that the doubling down of the liberal rebels to the purpose of God, God is stiffening their neck. They're not trying to change what they're doing at all. They think it's them. Saying, okay, we don't care if the Republicans want. It's not about politics. It's about the signals that God is giving for the sake of what he's doing into this nation. It's what the intercessors are praying. He'll use politics. He'll use business. I mean, all this stuff about inflation. We've long been inflated in terms of our own stupid pride and all this stuff. You can talk about almost anything. The education of our children. We've long not cared about our children's education because we don't raise them up in the fear and admonition of God. You can hardly meet any daddy that's spending time training his children like the Bible says to do. See, you may find some women, mothers that are doing it. I mean, are you talking? So the issue of education, that's nonsense. We've long given our children over to the world to raise them up. They babysit, they educate. Even though every one of the Ivy League schools started as training schools from denominations, from churches, our major documents started from the Puritan ethic. We question all that. We even have allowed a level of debauchery, what Jesus talked about to the Corinthian church. There's a sin named among you that's not even named among the Gentiles. We've done that in our day. What is it? It's transvestites. Trance. That word doesn't exist in the Bible. It doesn't exist with God. There's no such thing. They can name it and call it all they want. There's no such thing in the economy of God. There is a male and female. See, that's what it is. That's how God made it. You can't change what God's done. So for anybody, Christian or unchristian alike, to try to say there's a such thing as a trance, it's nonsense and will come under the severe judgment of God because that's a creative order. That's how God chose to multiply the earth, to fulfill, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That's creative. You mess with that, you're messing with something that's going to get you destroyed. And that's what's happening. Our nation is in trouble because of the violations. Not only abortion, which that is a creative order too, but to try to change the nature of the ones who God created, that's an offense against God. God calls an abomination for even mankind to lie with mankind as with womankind. He calls that himself an abomination. So then to have an operation to try to physically change it, there's a judgment on this nation that's not even defined. And clearly enough for us to see the level of offense that's to that, all of that. There are people who are afraid to even say what I'm saying right now. There are pastors who've changed their messaging, and they won't even mention not just the issue of what I'm talking about. There was a guy in Atlanta once that was a good bowler, and this guy could really bowl. And then he switched to playing golf. So this golf course that I was playing at, he was there hitting some balls, and he became very good at golf also. So we were talking, and I called him by his name, but he changed his name and made it feminine. It was the same. I don't even remember what it was. But when he told me what that name was, in other words, he was calling himself, correcting me from calling him what he was named when he was bowling. And I looked him straight in the face. I said, I don't know you like that. I know you like whatever the name I called him. I stood flat foot, looked him right in the eyes. And he didn't say anything either. And I'm just saying that that's what's true about the nature of man, male or female. Whatever God has made these people, that's what they are. Or God is offended, but he's going to deal with it. And he is dealing with it now because he's the judge of all. And just because we don't see what God is doing in terms of his judgment, it's already working. And it works generationally. When you see this stuff in the Bible and in Exodus 20, that the wrath of God will visit the third and fourth generation, he's talking about your children. In other words, debauchery in the parent brings judgment on the family line. That's what it said. Read the Ten Commandments over there in Exodus 20, I believe it is, and then you go, the wrath of God to the third or fourth. Well, until it's dealt with, it'll follow from generation. That's your children. So one case in point that somebody wrote is called the Kennedy Curse. And that's all the tragedy that happened to the Kennedy family. And I don't know if all of it just started with Joe Kennedy, who was the one who put pressure on the legislature to allow for the blue laws, for things to open up on Sundays. This is the Kennedys. The judgment of God is on them, on that whole family line. I don't care how much money they have, the political influence and all that. That stuff is nothing in the economy of God. And you got to get that, too. And we'll let rich people off the hook. We'll let educated people off the hook. We'll let, people with great positions off the hook politically. Not God. God is a principle-based God, and he is going to reprove the entire world at the time that he said this is it. When the church gets to the place called glory, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, he's going to return for a glorious church. So we're going to be at a level beyond what you're seeing right now. And you understand? You and I are called to be glorious in our hearts, no matter if the manifestation of it isn't showing at all. Now, look, go back to Isaiah 14 with me for a moment. Now, I'm reading that out of the Living Translation. I don't know if I will be able to make the points that I could easily make regarding this. I'm going to read portions of it from the King James. But look, everything in the Bible relates to learning lessons for his creation. And in most cases, God is trying to show us what he favors and what he doesn't. However, he looks at the heart. And in this particular instance here, this chapter, which we're very familiar with it, his dealings with Babylon, which is, Revelation carries Babylon too, it's a picture of the world, okay? And I would say this, there's some of Babylon in every person, meaning like to think you're completely dedicated and there's nothing in you that's fleshly. I would like to think that about myself as well. I would like to think that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, none of that is me. But I think God is still working and all of us. And first of all, I want to thank him for still working too. Glory to God. So in verse 1, of Isaiah 14, it says, but the Lord will have mercy on the descendants of Jacob. And that's where I just read to you, Jacob I love, Esau I hate it. There it is, okay? There is the correlation. I could go into it. But here is why I read not only about Pharaoh, but God has stiffened the heart of the leadership of this nation. So it's going to be apparent that he's judging it. Now, much of the Christian world right now is trying to teach the world, I mean the church, how to get more of the world. And the Bible says, love not the world. But you got preachers today that tells you, teaching you how to get more money, bigger houses, more cars. I think you can have all of that, but that's not the priority. If there's anything I'm clear about, I don't know if even my people down here got it yesterday. And that's clearly this. The Bible, and particularly the New Testament, is all about how to live for God. Listen, not how to make it in the world. When you look at the contemporary church, you will find the fivefold, some of them, teaching you how to live for God. But there's an expectation from even the people in the church that the preacher is supposed to live for God and they're supposed to come to church. So when you look at the activities, the priorities, the goals of the people in the world, they're pretty much living for what the world offers. Yet when you read the New Testament, everything in there is about what God offers. So you can judge yourself on that premise. The priorities of what you do during the course of a day, what you trained your children to do, what your friends are doing, what the people around you are doing, Christian or non-Christian, pretty much they're not New Testament. Because New Testament teaches you almost nothing about natural goals in the flesh. Matter of fact, the Bible says, love not the world. See? Nor the things contained in the world. Well, most of the people I know can't wait to get something new in the world. They love the malls. They love the stores. They love the movies. They love the cars. They love the houses. They love the beaches. I told the people over here yesterday, put some clothes on, woman. What are you doing? And I won't go into that. You know how I am about it. But I was pretty strong about it yesterday, though. And there are reasons why as well. Because they're doing it not to attract godly men. There's no godly man. Godly man that's going to look at a woman who has a dress on that shows her stuff, or white pants that shows the print of her underwear, and she makes the print of her underwear another color so it's obvious where it is. Ain't no godly man want no woman like that. You have your breasts hanging out. Not a godly man. Because why? All that stuff she's doing while she's young, that stuff ain't going to be there when she gets old. They try to keep it going like that. So who you're attracting, it's not the godly, if you're like that. And men, they have the same nonsense going on. See, they go lift the weights now, not for health reasons. Because it's the summer, it's the beaches, it's the women. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're suited for each other, and you're going to be suited for each other in hell too. So it is. Look, Bishop just getting back, he's already fire and brimstoning. No, I am passionate about some of this stuff. It's obvious stuff. So now let me recapitulate the point. When you look at the Bible, in all of it, but when you look particularly at the New Testament, it is about how to live for God. And your priorities should be what God has set as an emphasis. Not, oh, I got to make sure my children are this so they can go to this college, they can go to that college, and I don't have to pay this. And then they go to the college you want, and scores of them don't live for God. Matter of fact, the stuff they learned in that college, they refute what you taught them growing up. You wanted it. See? You got it. And the great sham about all of it is we act like we don't take responsibility for it. I called someone. I asked my daughter to make sure this person knows that I got COVID and to pray for me. The whole time I had, that person didn't call me one time. So I called them. I said, hey, look, I'm calling you. Why? Because you didn't call me. And then you know I had it. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I was busy. You're right. You care more about what you were doing than the condition I was in. See? Sure. Okay. But there's scores of people like that. You guys on the line this morning, one, Mary B. Cope could say, pray for me. Send a text out. Why? Because there was a confidence there that what she's going through would be met by the compassion of somebody praying at this time of day. But think about the great majority of the world don't have anybody that they can turn to like that. So there's something about you that God has you on assignment here in this world, in this time, in this season. There's nothing going on in this world that's greater than the potential of what could be eliminated by your dedication to God. You're here to deal with the troubles, but you can't concentrate on the world and achievement and God and transformation at the same time. You can't love God and mammon. Now, when you see that, I said, well, mammon, what? You break all this stuff down with these people going on. It's all about money. It's about money. If you don't see that, then you will eventually. Okay, let's go back to scripture now. So I started reading, for those of you who come on the line, verse 1, and you know I'm trying to get, I could almost cover this whole chapter with what I'm talking about. Again, understand what I'm saying. God is not allowing America to repent yet for its nonsense, because he has got judgment going, and it ain't even hardly started yet. The Bible says in Matthew 24, it's the beginning of sorrows. So all these things you can explain, or I can explain about hurricanes and inclement weather conditions. Russia and China has a bomb now that we don't have yet, and their unity is on the basis of mutual destruction. Now it looks like China has an edge. The communist countries want to dominate over the free market, over America. They're not playing about it. This disease that's out here. Look, what, 4 million Americans? No other country has that number. Why wouldn't China have, 40 million people dead? Why wouldn't they let us examine the lab and all this? Because they care nothing about us. Nothing. Much of the world don't. But America does not see its own. I can name people right now that don't understand. The great transformation of their lives is based on their acknowledgement of sin, their plea with God for humility, and to walk in forgiveness. They don't see it. And that's the way this country is. So I'm just saying to you right now, America is going to be slammed some more before it's broken. The great awakenings that I've read to you about, Jeremiah Lamphere, 1850s, look, not only did he call for prayer in 1857, in 1858 was a market crash. We already had. Do you understand what we're talking about here? But in the earlier part of that year, there were great moves of God in this country. I'm not saying that everywhere is experiencing the same thing. No, there is mercy in certain places. Sure. But when you look around at this country, the Lord is at work. The devil, he's always been working. God's restrained him, as I said in the beginning of my talk with you. He doesn't let him do anything he wants. So he was destroying us. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And to me, he's stolen the passion out of the body of Christ. Not everywhere. See? And now God allowed the devil to place a limitation on people called vaccine. See? With his stripes ye are healed is the word. But and one person practically almost laughed at me that my family and I had COVID. And you go, what? No. And they basically said, they asked me, did you take a vaccine? I said, no, not doing that. And they said, well, there you go then. In other words, then I asked them, I said, did you take the vaccine? You think that the reason you don't have it is because you've taken the vaccine? And they say, well, yeah. You know what? I didn't even try to answer that with those people. Listen to me, people. I'm former military. I'm Vietnam. Do you think we went over to Vietnam without taking a vaccine? Do you think you can be in the military without taking vaccines? Have you heard of polio vaccines and many other vaccines? Listen, you heard me talk about me going to Entebbe in Uganda and these places. This is just like 2 or 3 years ago or whatever. I don't remember how many years, but a few years ago. I had to take vaccines. What was the difference between those vaccines and this vaccine today? They have been the CDC and the FDA 20 years of trial before they would affirm those vaccines. That used to be the great issue. Why so long? Because they knew that vaccines needed a track record. Because you don't know what's going to be the results. I mean, you can go on television now and they can talk about some pill you can take for diet or a pill you can take to have a better intercourse with your wife. And then they'll mention at least 10 or 15 different results, other things that could happen to you if you take this pill. But this vaccine is perfect. I mean, there's no consequences to it negatively at all. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. And what they're doing now is they shut up about it. By the way, Johnson was blood clots in large hearts. By the way, Johnson & Johnson. That's what was going on. So guess what? The media conspiracy and all that, they don't tell you what could happen. And then I talked about a basketball player named Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins. He didn't want to take it, but he changed his mind because they said, if you don't take it, we're going to fine you. And it was half of his salary. And half of his salary was $15 million. He said, I think I'll take it. But he did state the reason why he didn't want to take it. And the basic reason was, he said, I want to be able to see my children grow up. I don't want to get diabetes or cancer or enlarged heart. That's what he said. Because he was concerned about the after effects. Now, this wasn't, I don't even know if this young man finished college, but that was his concern. Now, guess what? That's not hardly discussed anywhere. I searched the internet just to look. If they do say some of those things, they veil it with you, still should take it. Still should take it, and it's only a little more than a year. You know what? But what I say to those people that's taking it, look, God can still bless you. You understand what I'm saying here? It's God that keeps us. You dedicate yourself toward your assignment, not just saving your life, but saving your destiny. If you sense that God still wants to use you, then do whatever, you see. But don't do the nonsense like these people. There was a young man, he's 84 years old. He said, look, I stayed in my house for 1 year. I didn't even let my children come to see me. I said, so how could you have done the will of God from the house then? Mm-mm. It wasn't about the will of God. It was about saving his life. Well, why should God let you live? Do you believe that God is the author of life, sustainer of life? Almost everybody will say yes. Well, what about God's will in that then? Well, they don't know what to say about that. Well, people, can you believe I got to, shut it down right now and I've hardly got started good. Let me read just a couple more verses and I'll stop. For those of you who have just come on, I'm reading Isaiah 14. And there's a lot I can say to you prophetically. It says in the second phrase, he will choose Israel as his special people once again. And I want to tell you something. I've already acknowledged you as a special people from the beginning of my talk with you. And the Israel, the true Israel, Paul talked about it. It's not them that are one naturally, but then they're one spiritually. Sure, he uses natural Israel as a metaphor, as an example. But the true Israel of God are the ones who have allowed Jesus to take over, and their identity now is in Christ. He will bring them back to settle once again in their own land. And Derek Prince is famous for saying, Israel was brought into a promised land. The Israel of God, meaning the church, was brought into a land of promises. And I believe there are many Christians that are not settled on what God has promised. And therefore, the land of God is not where they're living right now. You understand what I'm just saying? Okay. And the people from many different nations will come and join them there and unite with the people of Israel. Look at that. And in some translations where it says the people of Israel, the terminology for that, you'll see it in the margin of your Bible, if you have the Living Bible. It's talking about the Jacob and Israel, often interchanged throughout the Old Testament, referring sometimes to the individual patriarch and sometimes to the nation. Okay? So the nations of the world will help the people of Israel to return. And those who come to live in the Lord's land will serve them. Look, those who capture Israel will themselves be captured, and Israel will rule over its enemies. And Jesus and Paul define the enemy of the church is the enemy in a me. In other words, the warfare, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought. It's the enemies from within, the warfare within. You defeat it based on principle and revelation. Well, I want to go down through this. I'm going to continue to read right on down through. I don't know when I'm going to stop in this. There's so much here that I would love to be able to cover with you, but I'm going to stop right now. But listen, people, thank you again for you being a great reference point for me. Tomorrow, Eileen is coming here, and then a couple other soldiers are going to be, at least one of the soldiers, to help me set up a better media presence, because I'm gonna hit it by the grace of God, and then put out some more books. I would like for you to go back and look at my Dare to Hope book and look at chapter 5, where I talk about getting blessed by the Bible. And the underscore scripture that I have here in that chapter is Jesus said, "My mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it." Okay? That's what's underscored in that chapter. So in that chapter, we make a case for the veracity and power, eternal power, of the word of God based on scripture. The next chapter I go into, living the sacrificial life. Well, you're not going to do that unless the word is the place where you get your food. There's no way you're going to sacrifice if you're not a serious Christian. So I would say to you, next year I want to re-up with you reading through the Bible. Now, numbers of you may still do it, but there's scores of people who's just falling off. They're just falling off. And they're challenged by stress and pressure and all these things that are going on in the culture now worldwide. But listen, you haven't seen your best day yet. In the rededication of your heart, in the call for the Holy Ghost to help you, in acknowledging angelic assistance, let me just say this. You got some testimonies to build yet. And you got some things to share about the greatness of God in your lifetime yet. So, Father, thank you so much for these under the sound of my voice, where these are still not just hanging on. They're thriving. As I said, Lord, when I came on the line, I listened to them earlier. This wasn't noise. This was a sound. And I thank you, Lord, that there is a thick cloud that emanates from the sea of God's people. And that's these under the sound of my voice, where you are moving from within them out to the world who need you through their lives so much. I'm asking for you now to cause an awakening to come like we've never seen before. I'm asking you to open your eyes our eyes so that we can see with a clarity like we've never had before. I'm asking, God, that we would be so sensitive to your spirit and your voice that we'd be willing to give our lives based on the clarity of what we heard. And I'm asking for a renewed passion in the word. Not the rehearsing of things we already know is the truth, but bringing out the substance and depth that will allow us to meet any challenge of this day. Thank you so much. And Lord, I stand in agreement with them for the power of God. Mary, come out of there now in the name of the Lord. And I stand with every person under the sound of my voice. God, I didn't hear all of them, but in Jesus' name, reaffirm God's assignment in your life and then rise up. The devil can't have you because God himself has prepared a place for you. And if you don't sense that's it, it's not because you're afraid to die or you're intimidated by sickness. It's because there's still a passion within you to do divine business. Rise up then and watch God work. Your latter end should be greater than your former. Thank you so much, God, for hearing my cry. You're doing it today. In Jesus' name, I pray. I declare in the name of the Lord, the fear out of the black community is broken. I declare, Lord, in Jesus' name, they've had a terrible history in the natural as far as this country. And some are trying to declare it, but they're declaring it in the flesh. They don't understand the redemptive value of slavery and oppression. But Israel is our prototype. God will rise up above it. You are the preserver of life and destiny. So I'm asking for the destiny and the life of God to come back. I'm asking for people to flow into these churches back again. I'm asking for these people, God, to understand that the name of Jesus is greater than COVID and that the power of the Holy Ghost is way more intimidating than any kind of sickness. In the name of the Lord, I'm asking for you to put inside of them a courage that will defy death and the devil. And may they live and not die. To God be the glory. And I thank you for it, Lord. And may they listen to the new voice of the Holy Ghost clearer than ever. And Lord, they would stop listening to the voices of the wicked, the lying wonders who act like they care about the people of this nation, the nations of the world. Their plan is going to be unveiled. But God, you've always been available for all of us to see you. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father, for hearing my cry. You're doing it today. My people, I am so glad to be on with you. I know that Bishop Hunt was a lot more reasonable in the length of time. I gave you a good 40 minutes, but they were on the phone with me last night. They got a good hour and a half. Yes. So those of you that haven't called me and that kind of thing, look, some of you, don't worry. You don't call me with something to do. You haven't called me in a long time. You get a long message. God bless you. I love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
So glad to have you.